Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Under a minute to go. Milton back, zips around, and it's picked off. Kevin Byard's got it for the Bears, and that will officially seal the deal. A four-turnover day for the Bears defense today, and they have a lot to be happy about, but maybe out of all of it, none to be happier about. Nothing more to be happier about than maybe the best early career game of Caleb Williams. This might be the best one he's put out there yet. 298 yards, four touchdowns, 68% completions, and a rating of 142. He was special today.
Yeah. It's great. Now it's, you build on it. As soon as the game's over, you get right back to work. You celebrate, you enjoy it, because when you start 0-2, it's a tough feeling for the fan base, for the players. Everyone feels the pressure.
So there you go, coaches meet. It's the Bears. They get the win today, 31-14.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
Or therapist Gabe, as some people would call me. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? The Bears are so back, baby! Doesn't get better than this, man. Bears take down the Dallas Cowboys, 31-14. Ben Johnson gets his first W as Bears head coach. Caleb ties his career high with four touchdowns, and everyone gets free hot dogs at Wiener Circle on Tuesday. Ah, what a time to be alive. And, of course, we are taking your phone calls, man. Grant Leader, our guy, on the boards today. On the ones and twos. No baby T today. We got Grant out here. Grant, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. A little tired, but, you know, we're good.
Yeah.
I was here, you know, earlier today, but, you know, we're grinding through it.
That's what it is, man. It's the grind that don't stop. Now, Grant is going to open up the phone line so that way you guys can get through, because, of course, that's what this show is all about, right? We are live and local, kicking off our Monday for you guys so that way we can chat with you. And the phone number here is 312-644-6767. We want to get you guys on the line. Therapist Gabe in the building. Usually, my therapy sessions are for those of you that are disgusted with the Chicago Bears. But today, it's a little bit different, right? Today, you get an opportunity to talk about the squad, the things that you liked. Maybe if your mind has been changed a bit, maybe you and I could talk a little bit about, you know, what this means for the Chicago Bears team. But certainly want to get your phone calls in right now, 312 644-6767 so that that way we can chat with you guys throughout this whole thing. Now, you heard Tom Brady. Tom Brady, I felt, ultimately felt like us yesterday when we were at home when the Bears ended up getting that first touchdown. I mean, it started out the gate with this one, you know, from the very beginning where you said to yourself, man, I feel like often I talk to you guys about this where we as Bears fans think that the Bears need to be perfect, right? And this is a crutch that we have often where we watch the game in the very beginning, Bears come out scoring first. I know I got some statistics on Bears' first quarter drives. And you see the first one and you think to yourself, all right, so after being outscored 92-27, this is from Mark Potash, after being outscored 92-27 in the first quarter last season, the Bears have outscored their opponents 28-17 in the first quarter through three games in 2025. Now, this says a lot about Ben Johnson, how prepared this team is, and running through those first 15. But again, we as Bears fans see that, and we think, oh, there needs to be perfection here. And everything after that needs to, like, Bears need to score on every single possession. You need to be like the Indianapolis Colts and Daniel Jones, or else we feel weary about whatever that's in front of us. But today felt a little different. Felt like the Bears and the defense really stepped up to the challenge today and took what Ben Johnson has said throughout the week, not only about the Bears themselves and their practice habits, but also about the Dallas Cowboys. People like Dak Prescott and how he felt about him and how he controlled the pocket and the narrative on the offense and really just being a decoy for, you know, defenses. And so it said a lot about this Bears team to come in and handle things the way that they did. Now, first up, obviously, Bears come out. It was just, guys, I mean, this is, I was watching this game by myself. I told my wife, by the way, Gabe Ramirez, 670 to score, just had my third baby. So my third baby, you know, she's a month old. And I'm trying to watch the game, and I'm trying to stay focused. I'm telling my wife, I'm like, I got to lock in. So what happens? The Bears get the ball. First possession of the game, for those of you that didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing, three and out. It was absolutely disgusting. Sick to your stomach. Bears get the ball, and you say to yourself, you know, this is it. More of the same, right? Caleb Williams comes out with an incomplete pass to Colston Loveland. You felt initially, at least I did, that the Bears were trying to force him the ball when you saw that play. You heard all the talk about Tyler Warren. You heard all the talk about Bears wasting their 10th pick in the draft on a guy they're not even utilizing. And, of course, Ben Johnson said, you know, hey, man, I knew game one wasn't going to be a game for my tight ends. So you see them try to force, you know, that first play of the game. Should I just go right now and get into it? Yes. Ben Johnson is arrogant. And I'll say this throughout the night. He is arrogant, but the kind of arrogance that I love, right? Arrogant like Tom Brady. Arrogant like Floyd Mayweather. Arrogant like guys that can talk the crap and then back it up and people hate him for it. That's the kind of arrogance that I feel like Ben Johnson has, and I love it. Because I like guys like that. I like guys that believe in their abilities and then go out and prove it. And I feel like that's ultimately what he did. But so you see the shot to Colston Loveland from the very beginning, and you say to yourself, damn, this guy, he really cares about what people say about him, and he really wants to prove people wrong. And then second play, because that one didn't work, obviously, it was the predictable run to DeAndre Swift, who, by the way, I like DeAndre Swift. He's on one of my fantasy teams. I like DeAndre Swift. I think he's has a skill set that could be utilized. I think he's just overused on this Chicago Bears team, and he's not schemed up properly. So he's being asked to run between the tackles. It's tough. Anyway, so when the predictable second down comes, four-yard loss from DeAndre Swift, and then a little check down to DeAndre on third, three and out. It was disgusting. It was one of the most disgusting starts I'd ever seen because I felt like I was anticipating this is what this game was going to be all about. Then the Cowboys get the ball, and then Tyrique Stevenson, you know, what a game for Tyrique Stevenson, right? We talk about bounce back not just for Ben Johnson, not just for Caleb Williams, not just for the defense, but specifically a guy who had been torched in the media all week for giving up a perfect passer rating to balls thrown his way. Tyrique Stevenson, first series of the game, Javonte Williams, which, by the way, right, this Bears game was headed in the wrong direction from the start. The three and out, and then Dallas had already moved down the field. Let's be very clear. This is a 22-yard rush by Javonte Williams down the left side of the field. So they were already like on the Bears' 24-yard line, I believe. And Tyrique Stevenson gets lucky, but beautiful football play, and strips the ball out of Javonte Williams' hands for the fumble, which then things started rolling for the Bears. That's when things started rolling. It was almost as if they were given a second opportunity to start the game. God was looking out for them, gives them the other opportunity, and then things started rolling from there. Now, initially, when the touchdown was scored by Roma Dunze, I thought to myself, you know, my wife's like, why aren't you happy after that first touchdown? And I tried to explain to her, well, Trayvon Diggs fell, and it was kind of a fluke play. So it wasn't like the Bears willed themselves to a touchdown on the first, on their second possession. Excuse me.
So you're saying they're getting lucky?
I say on that very first play they were getting lucky. On the very first drive, that's my thought. It's, again, it's a cynic in me that is thinking that. And then, of course, the Bears give up an 11-play, 46-yard drive that results in a field goal, which, by the way, I didn't mind because the Bears' defense last year had a bend-don't-break mentality, and this year was quite the opposite and through the first two games. So to give up only a field goal felt good. And then the flea flicker comes right after that. One play, and then you heard Tom Brady yell it out. Oh, my God, that's exactly how we felt at the house. To see the play unfold before your eyes, you see DeAndre Swift get the ball. It looked weird from the beginning because Caleb then runs behind DeAndre Swift, and you're like, what's going on here? Then DeAndre Swift, who's never done a, seemed like he never done a flea flicker in his life, throws it 17 feet in the air. And then fortunately, Caleb Williams got an opportunity with a clean pocket to showcase his arm talent and puts it in the air 62 point something yards, the longest one in NFL this season, and connects with Luther Burden, who, by the way, the speed showed today and made you feel good about what he could potentially bring to this team. And that touchdown gave the Bears a 14-3 lead. It felt good after that, man. And from there, there were some scary moments, but you know, you felt good about what you saw from the Chicago Bears. And again, I'm curious what you guys thought, what you thought specifically. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. I'm going to go over the rest of the game, but hanging out with you guys until 5 a.m. Of course, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. We got so much stuff going on today. Of course, I'm kicking things off for you. But then Dustin Rhodes comes on with the pregame show at 5 o'clock. Mully and Hall right after that. And, of course, they got two big guests, Olin Krutz at 7, and then Brad Biggs at 9. Raheemi Harris and Grody, they come on next with two great ones. Anthony Herron, my guy, Anthony Herron. And, of course, he comes on at 11 and Dan Weider at 1. And then Spiegel and Holmes. You know, typically they have the guys on, or Jalen Johnson, but of course injuries and such. So they'll have Kurt Warner on at 3, and then Jason Leisure will jump on with the fellas at 4 o'clock. So make sure you guys check that out. All right, but again, curious if you were happy after this one, right? Bears win 31-14, and I was happy. I was ecstatic. Look, give me 9 happy Mondays throughout the course of an NFL season, and I'll be good. That's where my bar is so low for this Bears team. But I'm curious if you're happy after this one, right? Bears win. You're feeling good. You're still weary. Caleb Williams, where are all my Odyssey app people? Where are all my people from out of town? All my Chicagoans that are feeling like I need to hear from you? Because this is a good one. This is the therapy session's open, and I'm here for it. 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls, man. All right, so after that, Bears up 14-3. First quarter finishes. Again, another long drive, but one that results in a field goal for the Dallas Cowboys. 10 plays, 50 yards. So you're talking about two drives that were significant. And then in the very beginning, if you didn't hear, CeeDee Lamb. Man, it kind of felt bad for him. Another guy I have on my fantasy team. But I felt bad because they were trying to get him the ball. And typically, you know, you might do a bubble screen just so that way that guy can touch the ball, maybe create something for himself. But in this instance, Schottenheimer ended up hitting him with an end around, and then he ended up spraining his ankle because Noah Sewell, who that boy got so much energy, Noah Sewell ended up landing on him awkwardly, and CeeDee Lamb ended up rolling his ankle. So they were without one of their bigger weapons in this one early on. But again, they come down on that one, get a field goal, Bears get the ball, punted away 3 and out. Then the cynic in you comes back just a little bit. And you're like, guys, see, that was it. They're down 8. They're going to come down, get a touchdown, and pull up the 2-point conversion. This is what's going to happen here. And what ends up happening? Bears go 3 and out. Another 7 play. Think about that. From a Bears defensive perspective. You get the fumble, then you give up an 11-play 50-yard drive, a 10-play 50-yard drive, then a 7-play 57-yard drive for the touchdown, and the 2-point conversion. But it's about how you bounce back from those things, and the Bears did an excellent job doing just that, getting the field goal on their own 8-play 54-yard drive, which, you know, again, you're putting up points. It's the way you respond. Then defense comes through, 3-and-out. Thought that was great. And the Bears, right before the end of the half, 7 plays, 71 yards. Ended up with a touchdown where Caleb Williams finds Cole Kmet in the back of the end zone on 1st and 10 from red zone. Just felt good seeing Cole Kmet get busy in the back. It's just, it was good. So Bears go into the half up 24-14. And you weren't necessarily sure. Even then, you weren't sure how the whole thing was going to play out. But good things were in store for this Bears team as they win, again, 31-14. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys, ready to take your phone calls. Want to hear how you felt about this one. Bears get the victory. I know I felt good. And you can't tell me anything. Bears are back, baby. But you, I'm curious what you have to say. Let's go to the phone line. Let's go to Johnny out in Chicago. Johnny, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, guys. How you doing?
Hanging in there. All right, so talk to me about this Bears game. Bears win, but are you happy?
You know, I'm happy they won, but I'm not happy about the way the whole game went.
All right, tell me more.
I mean, their offensive weapons need to be used more. I mean, 31 points against a depleted Dallas defense. Yeah, that's great, but play against a top-tier defense, and let's see what you can do.
I hear that. So when you say the weapons need to be used more, who specifically are you talking about? Like, which weapon do you want to see utilized more?
I mean, Roma Dunze.
But he had a touchdown.
Yeah, I know, but he was expected to get a touchdown. But I'd like to see that Colson Loveland be used more. I mean, Cole Kmet is the tight end.
I think Colson Loveland, I think he ended up getting hurt during the game. So he had a little bit of injury. So that's why you didn't see him too much in the second half.
Okay. Well, I mean, they're supposed to have some great wide receivers and secondaries. So, I mean, you got to exploit a lot of the guys that we got.
I hear you. What do you think about Ben Johnson and the job he did with the offense, you know, putting up 31 points?
I like Ben Johnson. I like the signing of him. I just don't know if he was given the right tools to play the game that he likes to play. Because he did a great job in Detroit, of course, which is why we got him. But he has some good tools. It's just, can he mold that into what he did in Detroit and make it better for us?
I hear that. I mean, it's his first year, so I know he probably wanted to evaluate talent that was here. What'd you think about, you know, speaking of offense, Caleb Williams, 19 for 28, 298, 4 touchdowns. What'd you think?
I thought that was great. I mean, Caleb Williams finally came out and showed up. I mean, honestly, I wasn't a big Caleb Williams fan early on, but I've grown to like him a lot more. But I think, you know, last year he didn't have the protection that he has now. So hopefully the protection he has and the playmakers that he has now will help him achieve what his goals can get to.
I love it, man. Johnny, thanks for the call, bro. I appreciate you. And damn, congratulations. You know, getting through that call when you're a little buzzed, it's got to be tough.
It's got to be tough. And it's got to be tough, too, because I didn't know Roma Dunze is supposed to score today.
Roma Dunze is supposed to score. That's what he, duh. He's got a touchdown every game.
I mean,
game.
Come on,
like,
man.
Come on, what are we doing? I love it, though. I love the, this is what I was talking about. Bears fans expect perfection. This is exactly what I was talking about. Bears put up 31 points. Doesn't matter who it's against. Caleb Williams, QBR 142. Doesn't matter. Luther Burden with a first touchdown on a flea flicker. Doesn't matter. Roma Dunze, you're supposed to score. This is why we as Bears fans are sick. Because even when things are like in the moment, we can't even accept the moment and say, damn, this was a good one, man. I wasn't expecting it to go down this way, but damn, I'm glad it did. Oh, you got the Raiders next week. You could be 2-2 going into the bye. Awesome. Could have been 3-1. Right? If you think about that Vikings game, just could have been 3-1 if obviously you beat the Raiders. But could have been 3-1, not good enough. Got to be 4-0. Got to shut out everyone. got to score 50 points. And if not, everyone sucks. It's like, it's a tough place to beat, man. Doing talk radio about the Bears is tough because it's almost like the Bears would rather be in misery and accept misery instead of seeing what's in front of them and being joyful for what is there. It's Gabe Ramirez. I'm joyful to be here hanging out with you guys, man. 312-644-6767. The text lines are open. I got the password. I'm here. I can read what you're saying. So you can either hit me up there. But definitely want to get your phone calls and talk about this game, right? Caleb Williams, first NFL game with zero sacks taken. And then his QB rating, fourth best in franchise history. Of course, the flea flicker got you going with Tom Brady saying, oh, my God. Just, you know, really interesting stuff here. And I'm wondering if you think this is the Bears offense you were promised when Ben Johnson was hired, right? When you thought to yourself, Ben Johnson's coming to the Bears, what do I anticipate it looking like? Is this the offense you were promised when Ben Johnson was hired? Do you feel like John? And maybe there's some holes there that that could be filled. I'm wondering how you felt about the O-line. Did they earn your apology tonight, right? I mean, this is an offensive line that was getting brutally battered in media for the week. And, you know, they held up their end of the bargain. No sacks says a lot about that situation. But, you know, this in effect was Ben Johnson's blueprint game, right? The first time in years the Bears were able to dictate the terms on offense. And that is what you ultimately want from a Ben Johnson-led team, right? Where you're putting up points, you're bend, don't break on defense, and at the end of the game, you got more than the opposing team, all right? 312-644-6767. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Adam out in East Chicago. Adam, is this what you expected from Ben Johnson?
I don't know. I'm just I don't know about Ben Johnson, about that guy, but I know that I've been a Bears fan for years, and today we finally, you know, threw the ball upfield, and everybody looked like they wanted to win the game. They were calling plays like they wanted to win the game, and I thought it was funny that you said that, you know, they almost, like, didn't want to smile about it, like they need that misery, but I seen something good today, you know? I seen us, like, actually go out there and try to be a bad MF, you know what I
mean? Yeah, let me ask you this, Adam. At what point during the game did you finally let out a sigh of relief? Like, were you, you know, because I felt like for me, I was
no
tense throughout
when
the whole thing.
When he went deep and hit that 50-yard pass, I was like, finally, he looked upfield instead of the sidelines. I was so thrilled that they didn't run a 3-yard passing play 20 yards to the left or right.
Yeah, on the flea flicker, you're talking about, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. That felt good to see that. Felt good to see Luther Burden, for us to actually be able to see what he was able to do in that situation. But, I mean, to me, it also felt oddly good. Like, I felt bad. I don't know why, if you felt this way too, Adam. There was a certain point in the game where I felt bad for Coach Eberflus. And I was like, damn. Like, you come back to Soldier Field, you want to feel good about yourself, but your defense sucks right now. We are slicing them up.
Yeah, and, you know, plus, on top of that, I knew the Bears knew what time it was. We cannot go 3-0 and have this and have one of those Bears Mondays on the score again. Like, I knew. I hit my pick six today for $5 and won $250.
Nice.
And he's like, you're betting the Bears? I'm like, that Bears are going to win. They have to. They know that.
Right, and they were plus money, so it probably helped out your parlay right there, you know, being
in. I thought the Chiefs pick. They had the Chiefs only winning by 7. I picked that one. I was like, bam, you got to be kidding me. The Chiefs are just like the Bears. They have to win.
Everyone in my group chat bet Kansas City minus 6.5 today. It's like everyone was hammering that bet, and then the Bears, they were kind of weary of, but it was good to get that win.
I should have sold the farm and bet on the Chiefs. I there was no doubt in my mind. I was like, oh man, that's the only pick I can guarantee.
I know. 6.5 was one an easy one to lay, but Bears plus money. A lot of people in Chicago ended up winning that one, but it was good to see, man. It was good to see Ben call the offense that he's been wanting to call. Yeah. It was good to see the defense step up with Dennis Allen and really just make a statement that they're not terrible. Those things all felt good today.
Yeah, and you know what? Everybody that bet on the Bears for that easy Bears are going to win bet is a Bears fan. For the same reason. We all bet for the same reason. It's like, we're winning today. We're not going 0-3. I don't care how much I tell everybody I hate the Bears. I love the Bears. We're winning today.
The Bears are back, baby! Adam, thanks for the call. Hey, I appreciate
come on,
you.
Let's go.
312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez here with you on 670 The Score. Therapist Gabe, as some of my overnighters will call me. I see I got some regulars on hold. So we're going to take a quick break, take some more of your phone calls, because I really do genuinely want to know. This was Ben Johnson's blueprint game. In your mind, is this the offense you were promised? Were you impressed? Finally, are you allowed to be happy? I want to know. Therapist Gabe is here for you. 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's 670 The Score. An unbelievable play by Tyreek Stevenson there. Bears defeat the Dallas Cowboys 31-14, and we get to talk about it. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, hanging out with you guys till 5 a.m., taking your calls and all on our Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I want to take your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Want to talk about this one. Is this the offense that you were promised when Ben Johnson took over as the head coach of the Chicago Bears? And how did that offensive line do with just giving up zero sacks? Yes, zero with Caleb Williams for the first time in his career. All right, let's go out.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
To Jim in Plainfield and talk a little bit of Caleb Williams. Jim, how you doing, brother?
Hello, sir. How are you?
The line for the couch, for my therapist couch, is a little short today. You know, people feeling good. They're daydreaming about Caleb Williams' 4 touchdown throws.
I hear you. You know, here's the thing. Everybody is comparing him stat-wise to all the elite quarterbacks and how they did their rookie year and then obviously in his sophomore year here. And he's on par with them, yet he's not considered to be one of the elite quarterbacks. And it really just boggles my mind. And is it really just because of the wins? Like, he doesn't have a good team behind him? Is that why he's not considered one of the better
quarterbacks? This is good. This is good, Jim. This is good. Let's you and I have a conversation for a second about Caleb Williams. I was just talking earlier to Sean Sears, one of my favorite producers here at 670 The Score. And I was saying that it was the most comfortable Caleb had looked running an offense since I've watched Caleb Williams. Now, to be very fair, I'm a Pac-12 at night guy. So I've been watching Caleb Williams far before he was a member of the Chicago Bears. So I've watched a lot of his games. And even in those games, right, with Lane Kiffin, he just seemed a bit scatterbrained, like real quick, like twitchy, just trying to do too much like Ben Johnson. You got to be a point guard, not a shooting guard. And I felt like yesterday he had complete command of not only the huddle, but when he got to the line of scrimmage, he knew where the play was supposed to go, how much time was. It's almost like he had a little bit more command of it. And I think that is what would allow him. If he did that consistently, that would then put him on a elite QB level. Now, he's done good things. And when compared to Chicago Bears quarterbacks, Jim, he is elite, right? If you're just comparing him to the circle of quarterbacks that have been under center for the Chicago Bears, that is true. However, when you're comparing him to, you know, the NFL elites, Those guys do it consistently week in and week out. And I think that's the biggest difference. Would you agree with that?
I agree. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, when you have as many passing yards and you don't throw as many picks as some of those guys. And again, it took those guys a couple of years to get to that level of where they're at elite. Fair. And they can run an offense completely with a good head coach or an offensive minded coach or a good offensive coordinator. I just heard a bunch of national, broadcasters talk about bring in Tyson Bagent. This guy doesn't have it, you know, giving up on him, you know, after a year and two games, basically, you know, at the end of it.
Yeah, it's foolish. I think, you know, Jim, you and I, we've had conversations about where your quarterback needs to be if you want to consistently be a threat in the NFL. And you got to have a top 15 quarterback. And if your guy can find his way into the top 10, then that's when you can consistently vie for a championship in the NFL. And so Caleb Williams, I think we all felt like he could be a top 15 quarterback. It was just, are you going to be a top 10 to 15 quarterback, or are you going to be a top 10 quarterback? And listen, there's those that are in the top 3 to 4, right? Your Josh Allen's, those guys that are Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, they are up there. You're not necessarily going to reach that level until you have multiple years of success. Excuse me. But you can find yourself in that 5 to 10 range if you play like this, right? He protects the ball well. We can agree on that, Jim. And, you know, the ability to put up touchdowns and win everybody free hot dogs from Wiener Circle on Tuesday. I mean, it says a lot about where he's come. But what I think really stood out today, Jim, and I've been telling people about this because they're like, "Gay, Bears 0-2, they suck. What are you going to do?" And I was on CHSN last week, and I was telling everybody on the Chicago lead, I said, you can't judge the Bears just yet or Ben Johnson because you haven't given them an opportunity to coach the team, right? He just got this team. He just became the head coach. He only had them for training camp. These first two games, they suck. All right. But can you coach them into some victories? And I think that's what we saw yesterday with the Chicago Bears in this Dallas Cowboys game.
I agree with you 100%, and I look forward to the rest of the season and see what he can do.
Well, I look forward to more phone calls from you, Jim. Thanks for the call. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Want to take calls all night long here till 5 o'clock, but let's go to one of my favorites, Will number 2, out in Forest Park. Will, what's going on, man? How you feeling today? Better.
My man, Gabe. First of all, let me say congrats to you and the wife on the new addition.
Appreciate you.
Gorgeous.
I almost called her.
God bless you, and God bless her.
Will, thank you for that. I almost named her Caleb. Kayla. Kayla B. It was going to be Kayla B, and then it was going to be Caleb, but my wife said no. My wife said no to that one.
I'll just do it.
So what's up, man? How you feeling today? Let's be honest. You and I, we've had many a chats about the Chicago Bears team. Start 0-2. They get the dub today, 31-14 against the Cowboys. In your heart of hearts, Will, how are you feeling today?
I think this was a positive. I think with a second year quarterback, a first time head coach, but you know a veteran in the NFL. You take the small wins, you take the small steps. You know, and you increase on that. I mean, they started off 0-2. You know, now they're 1-3. So I'm okay with that, especially from where the Bears are coming from.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a disastrous last several seasons. So I'm pretty much, you know, you take success in increments.
Yeah. And let me ask you this, because, you know, like I said, for those of you that are listening right now, Will and I, we've had years of conversations about the Chicago Bears team and multiple quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So my question to you is this, because I feel like this is a safe space to ask you. Why is DJ Moore so unhappy?
You know what? I wish I knew, and it pains me. And, you know, I'm on social media. I'm online. I keep up with Loho on YouTube.
Yeah.
And the talk of his attitude, he's pouty, get him out of here. And I'm like, wait a minute. Just a few seasons ago, he brought so much to this team. I mean, and he was amazing in that season with you know who.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since we're trying to get over that,
the player who remains to be nameless.
Remain unnamed, yes, exactly. And I honestly thought that was the start of things to come. I was happy when we got him. I thought that was a great trade, and you know, and I was happy he got his money last year, or whenever he got it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he got that one TD today, but I wish he was
He looked sad.
He was doing things that he was doing a few seasons ago.
Will, he looked sad to get that touchdown. He got the touchdown and he looked sad. He like caught it. He's like, damn, got a touchdown. You're like, what?
You know, he really didn't look all that. Well, I'm going to stay away from that. It, you know what? The moment didn't look as exciting as it should be. Let me tell
you that. Said. Well said. I will say this, because I was paying attention to DJ Moore a lot during the game because I wanted to just figure out my own answer to that question because I couldn't figure it out. And I will say this, on the play to Luther Burden, he was arms in the air, super excited.
Yes, he was.
I saw him and I was like, oh, look, there's on the replay. Look, DJ Moore's happy. He's running to the end zone. Like, so if that made me feel good, because then it was like, all right, well, at least you're still in that way. And I'll be very frank. Like, I've had the opportunity to hang with DJ Moore, right? And
okay.
He is, and his wife is Puerto Rican, right? So, you know, I'm Puerto Rican.
Boricua.
Like, Boricua, you already know. We all click up. So I helped his mother-in-law do some stuff. But DJ Moore, even in that moment where I was hanging with him, was super quiet and reserved. Like, wasn't about that rah-rah. He wasn't rah-rah in any sense. And so for me, when I see him, I'm like, okay, in my little interaction with DJ Moore, he's true to himself on the field and off the field, right? But it's like, I know, listen, I'm an adult, right? I'm not a kid. I know what it's like to be the man, right, which DJ Moore is. And then Caleb Williams comes in and everybody's has all this hype for him. And you're DJ Moore and you're like, man, what's all this hype about this guy about? Like, I'm the man, not him. And then there's like this like imbalance of power between the two of them where Caleb feels himself, DJ Moore should be feeling himself, and they can't get on the same page so that they can be successful. But here's something that you pointed out.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. But here's something you pointed out, Will, that I think is very important, and Bears fans need to hear this, is that you cannot let DJ Moore go. Do not be fooled by my words, okay? Because Luther Burden cannot be free over the top if you don't have a DJ Moore underneath, right?
100%.
Roma Dunze, it cannot be on the secondary cornerback for the opposing team unless DJ Moore is on the field taking CB1 in that situation. So you have to have DJ Moore there because he allows for that. And then let's not forget, he becomes a safety blanket for you in any situation because you know you give DJ Moore the ball, he's going to give you a 51% chance of making that play successful once. That's why you got to have him.
I agree. Yeah. And unless I hear something different, I've always heard he's a wonderful teammate.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. He's like a quiet guy. So he's, you know, those are the guys you like because then he's not the rambunctious over the top one in that situation. Well, I mentioned earlier to John, another guy I was talking to, I said I felt bad at some point for Coach Eberflus. Did you feel the same way? Like when you saw him on the sidelines getting worked?
You know what, Gabe? I don't know if I told you this before. Here's something funny. Eberflus and I share a birthday.
Oh, no way.
May 17th. I forget when he was born, but I was born in 73, so I'm 52.
Okay.
But I was surprised at that because there's a lot of things when, you know, that player to be unnamed.
Right.
I felt like Coach Eberflus should have been taking flags because I thought he was getting beat up on the field. I'm like, wait a minute. Who's advocating for QB1 out there? He's getting murked. And I was surprised. When I found out Eberflus was a Taurus, I was like, wait a minute. He doesn't remind me of any Taurus that I know.
No, not at all. And Eberflus was born in 70, so he's a little bit older than you. And I know you're a handsome man, Will, so they can't make the comparison. You know what I mean? He's a little bit older than you. But, man, I got to be honest. Well, this feels good to be able to, you know, have a conversation and us be happy. It feels weird almost, you know, to be happy about a Bears game and feel good about what happened in this one.
Well, lastly, I'll say this. And, you know, my friends are kind of giving me some heat because I'm kind of, you know how I feel. But I'm like, look, I was born and raised here, west side of Chicago, but I've lived all over. I've lived in Humboldt Park. I've lived in Ravenswood. I lived on the south side. I'm Chicago through and through. So I may not be ecstatic about a lot of things, but I wear the colors of Chicago every day of my life, and I don't root for any other teams.
No. You bleed the blue and orange. I know that. And then you living in Humboldt Park is why you can say Boricua so well. That's why I know.
Absolutely.
That's what I picked up on there, Will.
Jose de Diego.
You went to de Diego?
I did not, but my family members did. Okay. I was in that neighborhood a lot growing up. Artesian, Teddy Burgers. Oh, yeah, I spent a lot of time over there.
All right, Will, look at you. Look at us bonding a little bit more. Well, I appreciate the phone call. You know I always like it when you call in when therapist Gabe is holding court. So I appreciate you hanging out with us. All right, Will?
All right, man. You're here for me soon.
I hope so. Will, number two out in Forest Park, holding it down. And I want you guys to do the same. this is your opportunity. Come hang out with me. Sit on the couch if you need some therapy, or just, you know, chop it up about your Bears team. They win 31-14 against the Dallas Cowboys, and it was a great game. Ben Johnson gets his first victory as a head coach in the NFL. Caleb Williams, 4 touchdowns, just has himself a day, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Matt out in Chicago. Matt, so you went to the game with your father, or you just watched the game with your father?
Hey, what's going on, man? No, I was at the game with Pop.
Man,
what's going on with you?
I love that. I love that. So Pops must have been happy that they got the victory.
Section 130. Yeah, he's still a little on the bandwagon with, you know, I might go, I might not go, but it's all good. I dragged him out there today. We made it happen.
Did you guys tailgate, Matt, or you just went straight to the game?
No, we parked on Indiana. We took the bridge over.
Smart.
You know, he old man. He old man. Yeah. He like to get in, get out. Like Obama, you know?
I get it. You know, you got to leave like 4 minutes before the game ends, you know, just so you could beat traffic.
Hey,
I get it.
You know,
all right, so let me ask you this, man. What was your when you're at the game with your father, what did you feel like was the highlight, like the moment where you guys were at your most joyful throughout the game?
No, for sure. It was the burden touchdown. The little flea flicker. I thought that was doomed from the jump with the pass back to Caleb. It looked like a changeup, and I was like, oh my god! And all of a sudden they made it happen. And Burden, I mean, God, he made a great catch over the shoulder, and it was right in front of us. So shout out Section 130.
Shout out Section 130, man. Luther, well, let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, you know. All right, let's start here. What now? I mean, obviously, Luther Burden gets the touchdown. Colson Loveland gets his first catch, or big catch, I should say. But a lot of people were down with the Bears drafting these offensive weapons, you know, after how the first two games played out. What was your initial thought after the first two games about Colson Loveland and Luther Burden III?
I thought they wasn't used enough, Gabe. I thought they wasn't implemented enough. I mean, at the same time, too, they rookies, right? But this and that. But you still gotta let them learn out on the field, you know. Colson Montgomery ain't going to hit for the White Sox if he's on the bench. You know what I mean?
Fair.
And at the same time too, I just want to chime in on the DJ animosity.
Yes.
You know what? I think really, Gabe, it's because of Keenan Allen coming in here and having that good repertoire with Caleb, and DJ being like kind of side swipe for the, you know, he had that big game in 2023 versus the Redskins, and he was a man. You heard me? And then Keenan Allen come in here. He had Caleb's USC senior day. This and that, blah blah blah. And you know, he come in here. And Caleb just right on point to Keenan, but DJ, he kind of giving him the second nose. You know what I mean?
That's a good point, because Keenan Allen, obviously a West Coaster, familiar with Caleb Williams' game playing at USC, and so there was this like where maybe Caleb Williams viewed Keenan Allen as more of a legend than DJ Moore, you know, like giving him his flowers a little bit more than DJ Moore. Listen, I'm here for all the rumors and all the bochinche. I'm here for it all.
Giving him the first look before DJ, and DJ like, yo, I'm supposed to be the first look. Forget dude.
And you hear how Caleb Williams talks about Roma Dunze compared to DJ Moore, right? He's always like, my guy, Rome, and Rome, Rome, Romy, Rome, sounding like Martin. But, you know, DJ Moore is the veteran that has had continued success in the NFL. So it is kind of weird. Let's talk about the run game for a second, Matt. I mean, this is something that's been bothering me as of late. I mean, obviously, you know, the one thing that I point to, and you could check all my tape on 670 Score. Go check my Twitter, whatever you want. I hated the Torrey Taylor draft pick when it happened, and everybody gave me crap. And I was like, dude, punter, fourth, like, what? And then I've mentioned this last week on the overnights, or the week before, where Bucky Irvin, Braylon Allen, right, Will Shipley, and Tyrone Tracy, all four were taken just after Torrey Taylor, right? So I hated that one. You hate these certain things, but in your mind, the lack of getting a running back, the running game, what's going on there? Is it enough for you? Do you feel like DeAndre Swift, as you mentioned, with the wide receivers not being utilized enough, do you feel like he's not being utilized the right way?
Yeah, you know what? I think DeAndre Swift is a capable number one, and my young guy looked good today, solid. But what I'm going to tell you is this. If you look at Green Bay and you just look at Josh Jacobs' plays when he runs, they are better scripted and schemed plays for the run, where the defense is on their heels, or You know, and one thing too, Gabe, that I noticed at the game today is Caleb is like, you know, when a pitcher tips off his pitches, Caleb is tipping off the run like immediately. He don't put the ball out there without even taking his drop step to Swift. I mean, it's like, and Swift is 9 yards back. It's like you tip it off your pitches, Caleb. Just, you know what I mean?
It's a good one. I see what you're saying.
They do no play action under center, which is annoying because they should do a lot more play action under center and involve a fullback, man. I mean, what is a fullback going to, you know, put someone back there?
I don't even think they have a fullback on the roster.
They don't have no fullback. Like, what happened to them? You know, like, you 3rd and 1, you're supposed to be getting into going, you know?
Yeah, it was.
At the end of the day, that's the run. Like, if you look at Jacobs or you look at, you know what I'm saying? If you look at Saquon, the running plays, the scheme of it, they just so much better tailored
but,
for
but
the.
But Matt, here's the difference. Here's the difference between Josh Jacobs and DeAndre Swift, all right? Josh Jacobs.
Go ahead.
Right, 5'10, 223. DeAndre Swift, 5'8, 204. I weigh more than DeAndre Swift. But, you know what I'm saying? I'm 6 feet two something. But my thing is, like, he's a little dude, right? And that's where the Bears kind of failed themselves in that situation. But I'll be honest with you. When I was watching the game, all I could think about was, as I was watching DeAndre Swift fail miserably at running, being a running back, I thought to myself, I'm like, you know, the Bears and Ben Johnson, you know, Ben Johnson just inherited this team. He needs to go through his first year of seeing what he has so that way he can then elevate the roster. And all I kept on thinking about was next year. Like, I was like, damn, what if, like, the Bears get, like, the 17th pick and they find themselves with the opportunity to draft a good running back in the middle of the first round that gets pushed down because nobody wants to draft a running back. And the Bears end up being the beneficiary of someone like a Jahmyr Gibbs getting drafted in the teens. You know what I mean? Like the way the Lions did. And then if you add somebody like that to the roster, the offense at least, a change of pace back, like if you had an Omarion Hampton, Travion Henderson, just someone to change it up a little bit, you could see how improved this Bears run game could be. And so it got me excited for the future is what I would say. Right, where you can see the deficiencies on the team in the present, but then you could think about the draft and the ways they can address that for years to come. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, Gabe. Hey, but listen, too, I think he did just enough for today for them to be capable of, you know what I'm saying? Keeping drives alive. Drives alive. And one more thing, hey, I got to catch you at a fire game before they end the season. Maybe the Toronto at Chicago game.
Listen,
but that's
to this.
All I got to say.
Hold on, Matt.
Go ahead.
Let me see. Let me check the schedule. I think they play this Saturday. You want to come to the game this Saturday?
I do want to come to the game.
Yeah? All right. I'm going to put you on hold, Matt. I'm going to get your information. And then, this Saturday, they play against Columbus. This Saturday.
Come on.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold, get your information. I'm going to throw you 2 tickets, all right?
My man. We'll see you there.
I got you. Hey, put them on hold. Yeah, put them on hold, Grant. All right. 312-644-6767. Just get his Grant, just get his email address and then I'll email him out and take care of him over there. For those of you that don't know, yes, I work with the Chicago Fire. If you watch the Marquee Sports Network, I host their TV show Inside the Fire. And I'm also the in-game host for the Chicago Fire. And they had an amazing victory against Minnesota United over the weekend. They're like in third place in the Western Conference. Chicago Fire battling to get into the playoffs, and they ended up getting the victory, so that was a great one there. But we're talking a different victory. One for your Chicago Bears as they take down the Dallas Cowboys, 31-14 at Soldier Field. A beautiful day all around in Chicago. And I want to take your phone calls. See what you got to say about this one. What'd you think about Ben Johnson and his play calling? Caleb Williams and the 4-touchdown performance? Or the defense of the Chicago Bears making a statement and holding the Dallas Cowboys just 14 points. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Vito out in Wisconsin. Vito, welcome back, man. Good to talk to you.
Hey, what's going on, boss?
You already know. Hanging in here. What do you think about this? What do you think about this game?
Hey, I loved it. I loved it. What's not to love about it? Just the only thing I don't like, the fans are always so toxic. They can never just
I know.
See the glass half full.
They're so toxic. It's so bad. Why are we like this, yeah. Vito, why are we like this?
I understand we've been in rough shape for a really long time, but the fans must be forgetting about, I don't know how many years ago, but you know, the 50, 60 yard total passing games that we used to have back in the day, you know. But we have a quarterback in my eyes that is top five.
Ooh, you know, top five quarterback?
Honestly, yeah. Okay. And I honestly think, you know, it's going to take a little while, but any first round picks, anything that we get should be in the trenches. O-line, okay. D-line, nothing okay. else. You know,
I like this.
Once Big Ben gets that the way he wants it, then we're going to see the offense and the team that we were promised.
It's funny, Vito, because, you know, the first thing we're talking about is Bears fans, that we are a tortured group and we don't necessarily know how to act. And I think you're right, because it's almost as if we don't know what good looks like, right? We want perfection. Yeah. We want to score 60 points. So we want it to be 60 to nothing. That's the only way we're going to be happy. And no drops, no mistakes on defense, everything three and out. Like, can't give up any first downs. Like, that's the only way we'll be happy. But it's only because we don't know what good looks like, right? And that's what we saw today, right, where you're putting up 30, right, your defense is holding strong in the red zone, not giving up big explosive plays, and you get a dub and you move on. You get the victory and you move on. I don't care how we got the victory. We got it. Put it in the books. Let's go get another one. That's a good game for the Chicago Bears. But unfortunately, I don't know why we just can't see it. And then top five QB. Have you always felt that way, or you just feel that way now after this game?
No, I see it. Both of my kids play quarterback. You can tell he's got everything that it takes. He just needs that. He needed the coach. He's got the coach. He needs the O-line. If you watch, you know, the great teams in this league, they don't have these fancy receivers. They invest O-line and defense. You know, if you look at the Patriots, they had Randy Moss for 1 year. They never had nothing that crazy. All the money was invested on the O-line. And you give Caleb Williams time like he had today, he's going to cut everybody up.
Hey, man,
I promise you. You know,
you're right. He had a lot of time, and he did look good in that pocket. And we know Caleb, you know, when he can plant his feet, get his shoulder squared, he can make that throw. I think it's, you know, and obviously we've seen him make it on the run, but I think obviously the percentages are higher. You know, completion percentage is higher this season so far. I think he's, you know, above 60%, where he was in the mid-50s last year. So he looks good. But there's, you know, something you mentioned about the trenches, right? You know, obviously I alluded to the Bears taking a running back in the first round. But to be honest, Vito, you know, what you're saying is correct, because I look at Darnell Wright and the mistakes that he was making today again, right, for the third game in a row. And I'm wondering, you know, because you heard how Ben Johnson and the offensive coaching staff started working Ozzie Tripillo on the right side because they felt like he just wasn't suited for the left. And I, you know, when I think about the future of this offensive line and what it looks like, I think to myself, okay, are they going to put Tripillo as the right tackle and then move Darnell Wright inside and have him be a guard? Because he's obviously a capable offensive lineman. It's just you want to put him where he might be best suited. And then you find your left tackle of the future either via the, you know, draft, right, first round, or you go sign somebody. And then that way you continue to shuffle the pieces, but you're always putting guys where they're best suited. But I can see a situation like that where Darnell Wright moves to guard, but you just want the best for everyone that's involved right there. But I think we can all agree that the offensive line is much better than it has been in years past.
Yeah, we need that. We need to find our Penei Sewell, and we need to find our guys, you know, eventually. But to flip it to the positive stuff, have you been seeing the stuff on the social media, like Ben Johnson's post-game rant that he had in the locker room? What was it? The be better, best, or whatever it was. That was amazing.
Dude,
and
so hyped.
For the DJ Moore stuff, you know, I seen him. They gave him the camera after the game. He was excited. They showed him and Caleb, you know, hugging it out, laughing on the bench over there. I think it's just the biggest thing is today, after what Caleb did today, and as of right now, I know we still got another game tomorrow. He leads the NFL in touchdowns and everything like that. So we got a stud. They're going to change the narrative. You know, even Tom Brady after the game, he was like, the narrative is going to change now. You know, we'll see what the haters say now, but the narrative is going to change after that big game like that. I understand it's Dallas, but hey, we played Minnesota and Detroit. Those were two 14-win teams last year.
Yeah, two teams that made the playoffs, two teams that were ultimately better than the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, yeah, we had.
And then they were good. Vito, I appreciate the phone call, man. I appreciate you calling as always. Look forward to chatting with you again after another Bears victory, man. The phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. ready to take your phone calls when you're thinking about the offensive explosion for the Chicago Bears for Caleb Williams. Is this the offense that you were hoping for? Or do you feel like there's a couple of holes under there? We're talking about DJ Moore, and why is he so grumpy? You know, I don't know why. I don't know what's going on there. Obviously, Ben Johnson getting his first victory for the Chicago Bears. I wonder if there was anything in particular that you saw that you still didn't like, even after the game, a couple hours later. Curious about that, man. But the phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Your phone calls on the way on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. We'll take your calls next right here on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.